Welcome to Fantastic Females, our adventure to finding the mythical island of freedom together. I'm Rupali.
And I'm Kalyani. We are your next door finance experts sharing our experiences in the world of money and energetics.
Welcome to our next episode. Today we're going to talk about something that gets a bad rep. Fortunately or unfortunately, we'll find out.
Yes.
We're going to talk about debt. And as an offshoot of that, we'll also cover buy now, pay later, which seems to be getting really popular in this region now, recently, right? Rupali, you were mentioning some wellness center recently.
Yes, one of the wellness centers have actually now partnered with the buy now, pay later scheme. And I think sometimes some of these courses and things that, you know, people do can be on the higher end of the pricing scale. And so maybe that encourages people to go for it.
Yeah, definitely. On the topic of buy now, pay later, I've noticed Carrefour, the big supermarket chain in Dubai, has started offering buy now, pay later recently. But in terms of courses, I do have to say I'm probably guilty of using buy now, pay later a few times, more for cash flow reasons than anything else. And it does make things more affordable. But before we go into any of this, let's backtrack and talk a little bit about debt. I think it's something that we all grew up with in the modern economy, and it is a heavy loaded word.
Yes, it definitely is. I think it depends on the generation that you're born into. So you had times where debt was not taken, it was not looked at as a good thing. Then there were times where interest rates were better, and so lots of debt was taken to the point of like silliness. And then you get our parents' generation who probably, I think it also makes an impact when you're an immigrant. Otherwise too, actually, I think our parents were against debt, and it was always like, no, no, don't take debt. You should only spend what you can afford, what you have in your bank, and limiting kind of mindset.
Very much so, actually. Something interesting that I'm reminded of is I started rereading the book Psychology of Money.
Yes.
And the very first section talks about how your beliefs about money, or how you view the world essentially, might depend on a total chance aspect of when and where you were born. So I found that so relevant.
Such a cool way of putting it, right? Yeah. I also hadn't thought of it when he said that. I'm like, oh, right, it's actually chance.
And it said if you were born in the 90s, we were born just before. It said if you were born in the 90s, then you've never seen a big kind of crash or recession, and you've seen moderate inflation. And now that is putting things into perspective for me, for all the hue and cry that we've seen over 2022, right? People just don't know how to deal with that. But to put this into perspective of why I'm bringing up inflation is also that interest rate inflation has been such a buzzword. But to connect it back to what we're talking about today, the authorities are simply trying to make it harder for people to borrow to be able to control the money supply in the market. This is one of the tools that economists use. We don't need to go into details of that today, but that puts things into perspective.
Yeah, exactly. Is debt a bad thing?
Okay, we're going straight into it.
Yes.
Loaded question. I myself, I think, have a pretty negative feeling when I talk about debt. It's not a word that makes me feel expansive, abundant. It is a negative connotation, you know, like you don't want to be financially negative.
Yeah, although I think it's because of the mindset we take it with, in the sense of we were told debt is a bad thing all our lives, even though if you think about it, for the longest time, interest rates were near zero, at least over the past decade. I don't know, it's not free money, but it is cheap money.
Nearly free.
It's nearly free. You can, you know, as long as you can pay it off later, it's not a bad thing. I think it depends on what you're using the debt for, right? I think that's where it comes down to. One, the mindset. I think that's why we both actually are so passionate about money and mindset coming together, because mindset makes it a good or bad thing. And then the money element, the investment element, if you're savvy enough to use it to your advantage without letting it take you under, then that's what you want.
Yeah, exactly. So if you've ever come across good and bad debt, then you're probably ahead of the curve from most people out there,
right,
who only see it as a negative, and then most people can't avoid it, and then they get stuck in that that almost guilty cycle of feeling like they don't want it, they're having to take it out, and now they're stuck. So if you know about it, that's great, but we'd like to kind of bring our perspective to it. And good and bad debt is defined by what you use it for. And basically it comes down to when you're taking debt out for an expense that intrinsically going to grow, whether it's even an investment in yourself, if it's going to grow, then that's essentially seen as a good debt. Examples are taking student loans out. A lot of times they are with a very minimal interest rate or zero interest rate as well, and that's seen as an essential that you're investing in yourself for, and it is only going to grow in value in time. It's going to pay you back and more.
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy around it, right? Because like US student debt and people spend years paying it off and all of that, but I do think that if there was a choice of not studying and not taking debt, or taking debt and studying and getting a qualification, I would take the latter any day. And whether you end up using that degree for that field or not, it's essentially you've gained a network out of it, you've gained the knowledge out of it. The knowledge stays with you, you use it. Today we're using our knowledge in so many different areas of life, right? So I think you can never go wrong with knowledge, and I think, I mean, we are both nerds.
And the confidence, you know, like the confidence to try things out, or the exposure that you get to approach the world. I mean, these are qualitative things that you can't put a value on, essentially. But yeah, education, then houses are often paid with a mortgage. Till recently, it was a little more affordable. But even now, I think it's rare to see people buying houses without financing for cash outright. So houses are generally bought on mortgages, on financing. Funnily enough though, I'm kind of in the process of looking for one for myself, and Dubai tends to be an exception in terms of having about 70% cash buyers, which is just a fun...
For reasons that we may not want to go into.
Yes, not today. We'll go into it in future maybe.
But yes, I think even the house thing, I think you have a generation of people that have not had to take debt for it. You have a generation of people that are willing to take debt because that gives them an opportunity to own a house, which is considered an asset. And so as long as your financial, I mean, a house is a house. You can buy a 1 million dirham house, you can buy a 50 million dirham house, you can take the maximum debt you're able to, or you can take what you need.
Yes. And it's very much, I think, based on your comfort levels, right? And sometimes within the family, you could have different comfort levels. But back to the point of a house being seen as a good debt because it's expected to grow in value. Yes. At least that's the expectation. And I got reminded of, you know, different generations approaching this differently. So my parents have been debt-free all their lives. Mm. They were entrepreneurs. Typically find it harder to prove to banks that they're stable enough to get a loan. Sometimes it's even not very logical, but that's the reality. And now when they're told of people our generation buying houses, let's say, and in their early 30s, they always qualify by saying, oh, it must be on a loan. And I'm like, yeah, because normal people only buy things on a loan, and it's probably a savvy financial decision to not make such a heavy investment that impacts your cash flow, you know, really heavily.
Yeah, why put all the liquid assets in one basket? So we are all for putting your eggs in different baskets. And so why would you, I mean, so something like a house, why should 99% of your assets be in one asset?
Exactly. And this takes us to the point of, if you've heard of celebrities recently, I think there was news of Adele, amongst others, buying a house on mortgage when she can easily afford five such houses from her net worth on Google. The reality might be different. When she can easily afford five such houses. So that comes down to this, right? In having a balance between having good debt at an affordable rate while keeping the rest of your cash liquid that you can use for your daily expenses or other investments that bring you more money.
Agree. So what is a bad debt then? Because we've painted a rosy picture on debt here. What is bad debt then?
Yeah, before you guys ring your banks to get new loans, bad debt would be things that most of us are familiar with, and that's what gives it the bad reputation. Mainly it is on anything that loses value. One common example that we still choose to generally kind of engage in is a car loan. They're super common. We know that cars depreciate in value as soon as they're driven out of the showrooms, but I think this pertains to getting a car that's outside of your affordability for whatever reasons, and we might be seeing a lot of that, especially in this region. Then, I mean, it's depreciating value. You're paying whatever, $1,000 plus on a car that's depreciating in value every month. So is that, that's not a savvy, sound decision, but I'm probably not the target audience for this.
I think with cars, it's a mixed bag. My view and my take on this, it's all subjective, I suppose, but my take on this is that I'd rather, again, similar to the house, if I have the option to buy a car to be free, to be able to achieve what I want, I would take the loan if that's what it requires. Now, the amount that you take, the level of the car. So like in Dubai, I mean, anyone that visits here can see the types of cars that you see on the roads. And it is kind of easy to fall into that trap where you're like, oh, there's like so many G classes around me, you know, million dirham upwards of car. And I also should get that. And
is it that expensive? I don't even know.
It's upwards of a million dirhams. And you then have to make a decision. Do I want a million dirham apartment?
Yes.
Do I want a million dirham car?
Yes.
And what am I getting out of it? So if it's a 200,000, 150,000 dirham car, 100,000 dirham car that's taking me to where I need to go, sure, bring it, take the debt. I wouldn't put my money
in
it.
I'm the same, yeah.
I wouldn't put my money in it. I would just take the debt because it helps your cash flow.
Yes.
Secondly, if it's a car that you've bought because there's social pressure, there's society, your friends,
yes,
that can result in bad debt. So while a car is a depreciating asset, how you use it. So is that car bringing you money in terms of, is the car bringing you back in terms of your quality of life, your opportunity to achieve,
yes,
in whatever spectrum that is?
Yes, so 100%, if it is helping you get a car, please go for it. And we both agree on the fact. So I've got a car loan as well, and I've got a nice car that takes me place to place, has enough space for me, but I don't see the point of spending more than my comfort level, and then a debt would only add pressure to it. So like you said, there's a lot of fancy cars around us, and I wonder if people start thinking in terms of you know, the influencer life is big these days as well. So if they're able to make content based on this lifestyle, or if they're able to drive to client meetings with a show of wealth such as a car, then if that brings them extra money, extra respect. But again, there's a pressure that needs to be accounted for, right? Once you commit to something like this, then there's the pressure to keep it up. And I think for me, that's a big cost to pay.
Yeah, agree. So I think, I mean, my conclusion on the debt topic, in any sense of it, is that it depends on why you're taking it, and it depends on how much, and your personal financial situation, as well as your mindset. So, like you said, people say, oh my God, it's on loan. It's not really yours. The bank owns it. You know,
yeah,
those kind of comments. Look, if you're grounded in your life, if you are very stable in your mindset about how you feel about yourself, then it's fine. Let them say what they'd like to, and you do you, basically.
Yeah, it's a bit similar, I would imagine, to, you know, some people get very... they disassociate with the way we live in Dubai or in the region is on a visa, and some people find that very destabilizing. So that's often seen as a criticism,
right,
of, oh, how can you live on a visa for your entire life? But in our daily lives, that has no impact on our quality of life. We have a very positive life here, and that has no impact on it. So I would now like to take the conversation towards buy now, pay later.
Yes.
And I think the daddy of buy now, pay later that we see now are probably credit cards.
Yes.
Which were a super new concept for me in the 90s, early 2000s, whereas they've been around in America, especially for ages.
Yeah, I think with credit cards also, it has this negative connotation.
Yes.
But again, the negative connotation comes from people that use it irresponsibly. So
yes,
if it's helping me manage my cash flows, then why not? As long as I don't end up paying interest or a fine or fee on any of my outstanding, I'm managing it. It's helping me manage my cash flows. And actually, in Dubai, credit cards come with so many benefits, right? So many discounts, so many points, cash back. Yes, I'm not saying go and get 50 credit cards because everyone gives you a different offer. You keep the one or two or however many you're comfortable with and manage it.
Yes, 100%. So my parents, for example, again, still don't use a credit card and very much from that mindset. But we take full advantage of the credit cards, I think. So we earn all the points. Till now, I've got a free iPad from my points and a free Samsung phone from the points as well, which I mean, I know I have paid for the points, but I would have made those expenses anyway. Yeah. So for me, it feels like I got them for free. And, you know, you have airport lounge access sometimes. You have cashback on different expenses that you were anyway going to incur. For me, one of the added advantages is also my bank offers 0% interest on some key expenses. And I make full use of it because it just divides the cash flow over a period of time, makes it a bit more digestible. And that's absolutely fine.
I think the difference in credit cards in Dubai is also you get some really expensive ones where you pay an annual fee, you get some free ones. And so, again, the decision needs to be made by you that what am I getting for this? What is it giving to me versus taking away from me? And if you yourself have no control over how you spend money because you think it's not your money you're spending, that's probably where you need to have a check-in and say, actually, this is my money because I have to pay for it ultimately.
Yes. You know, there was an interesting study I came across which said that when you're actually spending cash notes, bank notes, you tend to spend lesser because it feels like physical outflow. It feels like you've paid. Whereas with a card payment, it could feel like being disconnected from the payment, it just feels like you're making a tap and doesn't feel like you're making that expense. So if there's anyone who needs to work on their spending patterns, spending habits, then maybe that's a tip that you can take. But back to credit cards, they do give us these amazing benefits, but I think it becomes toxic when people start defaulting on these payments, or once again, they make expenses that they would not be able to afford come their payday or something. And credit cards generally charge a very high interest rate. I used to have a relative who worked for Standard Chartered in their credit card department. And he was telling me, what's in this for the bank? I was naive then. This is a few years ago. And I was saying, we spend on the credit card and we have an auto debit, both my husband and I, so there is no question of defaulting, etc. And in my naive way, I thought everyone did something similar. He said, you're probably from the 5% minority, whereas most people end up getting stuck in the credit card debt trap.
I mean, if you're paying about 20% on your credit card, that's for every 100 dirhams, you're spending 20 dirhams on interest rates. And if that piles on, plus in Dubai, you have fees, you have some 200-300 fees just flat out upfront for defaulting. And then over and above that, you have your interest. So it can be a extremely negative situation to be in. You can feel stuck. And that's why, as with anything in life, you know, just see what's right for you. If your friend's doing it, if a relative's doing it, that's great for them. You do what you are comfortable with.
Yes, I read somewhere that if there's something you can't pay for twice, then that means you can't afford it. And that's a pretty nice way to think about it. Because if you can't afford the car, if you had to pay for it twice, if you can't afford the bag, if you had to pay for it twice, then you can't afford it, full stop. Which is a nice guideline to keep. Down to buy now, pay later, more recent kind of features that we're seeing in the region. They've been around in other places for a while. How does that make you feel?
Look, I think it's a good option to have. I personally don't use any other forms of buy now, pay later. I've got, you know, the traditional loans and credit card, which I use. Yeah. But other than that, I've never used any other form of buy now, pay later. And I don't know why. Probably because I use my credit card for those kind of things. So
either.
I don't have a use case for it. I don't know if it's more for people that don't have credit cards or don't have the traditional. I don't know. I'm not too familiar with that, to be honest.
I think momentarily at the time of checkout, it makes things that are above your affording kind of budget more attractive. But I don't use them myself as well. And for me, it ends up making me feel overwhelmed about one more thing to manage. So I'm yes. not sure if even with credit cards, I have multiple, but I've canceled the ones that I don't use because I'm so paranoid about getting fees, getting charged from the ones that I don't use. So
I think with Buy Now, Pay Later, actually something that keeps coming up, and I probably we need to do some homework on this, but the option that comes up towards the end when you're checking out, they actually give you a discount for using it, which is so counterintuitive because, and it's at 0%. So that's the part that I was like, okay, while it could be tempting to get that discount, I've personally never, but that could drive people into like, oh wow, actually I'm going to pay X percentage less. That's, yeah. But I think in all forms of, I think it's, look, there's no such thing as free money, okay? Mm. Zero interest rate is not free money.
Yes.
Because it's not free. You yes. are paying for 100% of whatever you're borrowing. You're just not paying a charge for that money. So you have to ultimately pay it. It's not free.
And if you do have debt that you have accumulated that may not classify as good debt, then there's an American personal finance personality called Dave Ramsey who talks about this in a very aggressive, passionate way. And he talks about the debt snowball and the debt avalanche effect. I suppose it applies to everything in life, but he suggests listing all your debt in descending or ascending order. So if you start putting them in ascending order, which means you put the smallest debt first and then go on to the bigger debt, and then you start targeting the smaller debt amounts. This is termed as debt snowball by him, and it makes things a lot more manageable where you strike things off. I think it's similar to how you would want to manage your to-do list on a busy day. Or if you're a personality who gets more comfort from striking off the bigger things, now that they're done, you feel a bit more relief, then maybe that could be a good way to start. In any case, debt should not be feared. I think that's what we're kind of driving in.
Yes. And I think I actually want to just, we just spoke about it before this podcast. So I don't know if it's too soon to mention, but we are thinking about putting something together to help manage your finances. While Kalyani and I are very much about the abundance mindset and we focus a lot more on what's coming in than what's going out, because it's easy to get stuck on what's going out and not then and thinking of your incoming stream as a fixed kind of pot. We want to put something in place that will help you manage your outgoings and to clean that up so that you're making space for more.
Yes.
So keep your eyes peeled on our Instagram and social media channels for something very exciting that we are going to put together.
Absolutely. Two things that are also coming to mind are, what is the impact of having a credit card debt or a buy now, pay later kind of commitment? One impact that I think we should be aware of is our credit scores getting impacted. And I learned quite recently that our credit scores are easily accessible to us in the region. If you're interested in finding out how to know your own credit score, then please reach out to us on DMs on our social media. And maybe we can even do a longer episode on credit scores. But any of any delays in payment or any buy now, pay later kind of schemes could impact your credit card score, because that's seen as you not being able to pay the $100, $200 amount in full. And delay in payments is obviously one big factor that affects your credit scores and could then impact bigger loans that you might want to engage in banks with, for example, mortgages, car loans, etc.
Yeah.
So something to be aware of. One last thing, since I am trading mom, would be about margin accounts on stockbroking websites, and they seem to be pretty popular. You might see a lot of success stories that talk about, oh, I use the broker platform's money to earn me X percent or X million dollars, whatever that is. Please be aware that I do not recommend that at all. If you're a beginner, especially, you should strictly have a cash account. Margin accounts essentially mean you're borrowing from the broker platform. They have interest rates associated sometimes, or you may be foreclosed out of your positions without notice, with a big kind of loss that you need to pay for from your pocket. All very undesirable outcomes. So if you're a beginner, please do not consider investing in the stock market by taking a loan out, whether it's from the broker platform or your friend or the bank, because all said and done, stock markets are not guaranteed, but your interest rate from the bank will be guaranteed. They will charge you the interest rate whether you earn from the stock markets or not. So just wanted to kind of bring that up in short. With that, we end today's episode on debt, and we would love to hear back from you. We would love to hear about what topics you might want us to speak about next. Looking forward to that. Thank you and bye.
So please share this podcast, leave your reviews, your comments to support us on our journey. We are so passionate about making your lives more abundant with this information.
None of the information provided is financial advice, and Fantastic Females is not a financial advisor.
The information provided is educational only. It is general in nature and does not take into account your personal circumstances.
Please use your own due diligence before making any financial or investment decisions.